Welcome to installment 222 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will continue our discussion of Positive Commandment 105, continuing the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, purity and impurity from the Rambam. This commandment concerns the impurity as a result of Shichvas Zera, an emission of seed. As we've mentioned on other occasions, the laws that the Rambam lists as part of the 613 commandments regarding the laws of purity and impurity are not that one is prohibited from becoming impure in a certain fashion. The law is that if one becomes impure, then one is governed by a certain set of rules. The only ones that were prohibited from becoming impure were people about to enter the temple, who, if they would become impure, would be forbidden from entry. And so too, Kohanim, who would be prohibited from eating truma, challah, and similar things, should they be in an impure state, also would be affected by this. However, if one wished to remain impure, this would be allowed. And as is the case today, since we do not have the waters of the red heifer, people are at least impure as a result of tumas meis, as a result of contact with a dead body, or presence in a cemetery, or being under the roof of a dead body, or a part thereof, such as in a hospital, and so forth. Nevertheless, at the times of the temple, even many people who are not Kohenim and would not be going to the temple except for the three times a year that every Jew was required to go, even though it was not required, many Jewish people took upon themselves the stringency, the chumrah, of eating all of their food, chulin batara, all of their food would be eaten only when they were in a pure state. Nevertheless, it would certainly not be forbidden from becoming impure, because the mitzvah of today, tumah shichva zera, applies when the seed is emitted even in the marital context, meaning in a totally allowed and even obligated way in terms of the relationship between a husband and wife. Nevertheless, after emitting such seed, and the woman, after having relations with her husband, both of them would be impure as a result of tumah shichva zera and would have to immerse in a mikvah before they would be allowed entry into the temple or any of the other ramifications of these laws of tumah v'tahara. In yesterday's discussion of this commandment, we touched on the similarity, in a way, between the impurity of a woman in Nida as a result of her menstrual cycle and a man after emitting seed, that perhaps both of them are comparable in that both of them involve, in a way, the loss of a life. Just as the primary source, Avi Aves HaTuma, is a dead body, in a way, the menstrual blood represents a loss of life, in this case potential life, since it represents the end of the cycle, that a child will not be created this month. And so too, in a lesser way perhaps, the emitting of seed. I say lesser in respect of the fact that the main development physically of the child comes as a result of the mother. The child develops for 9 months in the womb of the mother, and thereby the mother contributes to its primary development. However, both the mother and the father's contribution are part of a life cycle, and therefore emission of these products without accompaniment of life could be considered to be impurity in our general understanding of a lack of life. It is perhaps for this reason that both of these types of impurity are unusual in that they have no minimum amount. A woman that emits blood, even in the tiniest amount, becomes impure. This is a common misunderstanding. People think that perhaps a woman becomes in Nida only after emitting a normal menstrual flow. However, the truth is that even a slight drop of blood could render her impure. And it is for this reason that after having a gynecological inspection, a woman should ask a competent Rav as to whether she has perhaps become impure as a result of blood having been emitted from her womb. We find this same quality by Shichva Zera, the emission of seed by a husband, that even the slightest amount of seed emitted by him also makes him impure. And it is perhaps because of the tremendous potential in the seed of the man and the blood of the woman that it is within their capability of creating new life, which has often been described in Jewish writings as the closest thing there is in the physical world to an actual creation. That the world itself was created yesh ma'ayin, from a situation where there was no concrete existence at all, and suddenly a world was created. The closest we have in the physical realm is this creation of a child that, although it's not completely nothing, but in comparison with the child that develops, it's certainly considered nothing. Since the semen contains such tremendous potential, it is perhaps for this reason that a person is rendered impure for emitting even the slightest amount of zera. This concept that in the birth of a child there is a close imitation to the idea of creation, yesh ma'ayin, or from nothing to something, as a result of the inestimable difference between the tiny amount of seed and the tremendous complexity and greater size of the child which is created, this explains a statement of our prayers regarding the effect of giving charity. In our prayers we mention zeireya tzedokes, that the giving of charity is phrased as seeding, as zeireya. What is the explanation of this? What does this have in common with the idea of zriya? The Alter Rebbe explains in Igeres HaKodesh that the effects of tzedakah reach not only a Jew in the world to come, but also have an effect in this world. What sort of effect is it that comes to a Jew in this world as a result of giving charity? It is not just that a Jew does something here and is rewarded in kind. The reward which comes to a Jew is much, much greater than the effort which is put in. Just as when one would plant a seed, the resulting plant was much, much greater than the seed which was planted. And imagine it was the seed of a tree that was planted, an apple seed, for example. Out of this tiny seed, there would be nothing remaining. The seed would rot away in the ground, and you would have a tree as a result. And furthermore, the tree would be bearing fruit. The tree itself, and certainly the fruit, is incomparable with the seed which was originally planted. So too, explains the Alter Rebbe, when one gives charity, the results of one's charity are arousing a tremendous revelation above in the heavenly realms. There is a tremendous revelation from Chesed Elyon, the source of all godly revelation. And from there it comes down to the source of the soul, as it is above in the heavenly worlds, and eventually has the effect on the soul, which is enclosed in the body. And this happens to a person particularly at the time of prayer, that as a result of giving one's charity, there is a tremendous flow and flux and revelation from above to assist the person in his prayer. This is the reason, says the Alter Rebbe, for the statement of the Gemara, that Rabbi Eliezer used to give a pruta, a small coin, to a poor person, and only thereafter would he pray. That he knew that the charity he gave would be an assistance not only to the poor person, but would assist himself as well. That his prayer would be properly accepted, and he would be properly inspired. As it says in the book of Psalms, that from charity I will see ponecha, literally your face, which Chassidus explains does not mean literally God's face, since God does not have a face, of course. He has no physical qualities. But the word ponecha, face, also has the word pnimius, the innermost revelation, the highest sort of revelation. And this happens, betzedek echaz ponecha. How is it that I can see and arouse the innermost revelation of God? This is only through the giving of charity. That through taking care of unfortunate people in the world and giving them what they need, that Hashem gives everything that we need. In the spiritual sense, as we discussed here in Tanya, and as discussed elsewhere, charity is one of those mitzvahs which has its effect, not only in the world to come, but in all aspects of physical life, even the concrete physical reward, even in monetary sense, that God promises that the money will be returned, that since we take care of the people he is responsible for taking care of, that a giving of charity is considered to be a loan in a way, and God eventually pays us back. And furthermore, we are paid back not only in kind from what we do, but in a way which is tremendously greater than what we do. The comparison between an apple seed and the later tree which comes out, which is bearing fruit all over, this is the comparison between the amount of charity we give and the revelation and blessings which God brings to us as a result.